hello.
It's the motherfucking Millennial Mija podcast.
Hi, friend.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Can you hear me good?
Yeah, I hear you good. I'm doing good. I woke up like an hour. I've been going to bed really late for I don't know what reason. I was cleaning the house till like 3 last night in the morning.
God.
Yeah, I've
been like in so much pain that I just like sleep as much as possible. I slept on my back.
I was gonna say, how's your back?
Oh my god, it's the pain now is at a like, it's manageable. I can walk around, you know, like it's at like a, I would say like a 4.
Yeah.
But I'm on the trip, it was at a solid 8, like not even moving.
I saw you. I've been there. I can't believe you even made it. I honestly cannot believe you made it.
It was, if I didn't go, everybody else wouldn't have been able to go. And, like, I needed that trip, like, on a spirit level.
Yeah.
So, like, I went to the emergency room on Wednesday. And then I, like, did everything I could to get up and walk around. Like, I just wanted to get my pain to not, like, to, like, at least a 7 or an 8. But it was at a 10. So then I paid like $200 to a lady to come and give me a massage. That helped me a little bit. And
wow.
Then I was like, fucking go. And I went. So it was worth it.
Yeah. No, it looked amazing. It looked beautiful. I tried to follow like all the girls. I was like, you guys look amazing. I want to be friends with everyone.
It was so weird because I'm like, how the fuck? Because I was very, very adamant on like not picking and choosing people to go. Like, I was like, no, whoever signs up in the order that they sign up has to go, and we can't question it at all whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, even if someone else to come or whatever. Like, and it was the most magical shit that ever, because it was like, you know how sometimes in a big group of people, like certain people like don't fit or like don't get along or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, just simply did not have that problem, and it was like, it was just like a bunch of cousins.
I swear, it looked like y'all knew each other. Like, from videos, it looked like y'all already knew each other.
Right? That's what I thought. We were all tripping off of that because we were like, we just got so comfortable. Even as the first night, it was like, I had not had that kind of joy.
Yeah.
And I can't remember because it's been so long since I had friends like that.
Yeah.
And it was like instant friends. It was so weird. And then we, like, the rest of the weekend, we went on to kind of like, you know, share more personal stuff and process things together. And like during the like little times that I had scheduled, and it was so healing. And like, it was just so organic. Like the whole thing, the whole process was so, natural.
Yeah.
I had my time to speak, and I can't remember anything that I said, but that always happens to me. Like, I can't remember shit that I said, and everybody was, like, crying and shit, and I'm like, well, I wish I knew what it was.
You, like, blacked out?
Dude, it happened, like, and that, then the lady told me that that's called channeling.
Yes!
Yeah.
But no, I was living for the videos that you guys were posting, and I was like showing them to my boyfriend. I was like, look at this. Look at these goals right here.
You should have been there.
It was beautiful.
Next one, you gotta come somehow. Get your ass up there.
Definitely. No, I'm about it. The spot was beautiful. Like, seeing how close you guys were to the water and to the trees.
Well,
oh, my God.
That's what sold it. That was when I saw that, like, because my team had put together, like, a few different options for me to check out and approve.
Yeah.
And then when I saw that window, like, that it was overlooking the creek, I was like, oh, my God, there's no other place. Like,
yeah.
That's the only place. And so when we had our little sessions, we had them right there in that main little living room.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, right overlooking the creek. And it was just, I don't know, like, what happened was that I feel like I created the conditions under which magic could happen, and so they did.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Let me write that one down real quick.
I created the conditions for magic to happen, and so it did.
Woo. I hope you know I'm recording this just for my own purposes, so I could reference later.
Yes, easier that way. So I have to write every single thing down.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so I'm going to ask you some questions, and it feels weird asking you these questions because, like, I feel like I already know the answers to them, but I more or less just want you to say it in your words, you know?
Yeah, for your readers.
Yeah, exactly, because they don't know, so yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first one is, what is Season of Self and how did it start?
Season of Self is a series of self-healing workshops that started as a result of my detox from prescription drugs in 2019. I got to a point in my life where I was pretty much at rock bottom. Like, I had like a nervous breakdown at work, and I just couldn't do it anymore. Like, I was looking at my life, like, I was sitting in this cubicle every day, and I was just like, I don't know, I just felt like it was wearing me down, and I was pretty much treating my dreams like a side muscle, like, for the last 5 years, and it was slowly just, like, you know, eating away at me.
Yeah.
And so I pretty much just, like, got to a point where, because I had been trying to work harder to, like, get a raise at work and, like, move up that ladder, but that just was, like, the way that things were happening behind the scenes there, the way they were treating me was, like, really fucked up. And when I found that out, like, I just kind of, like, my whole world started to, like, unravel or fall apart. And I don't know, I think it was kind of a good thing, because then the cracks in my life started to, like, really show more.
Mm-hmm.
And then once that happened and I had, like, kind of a little breakdown at work, and they tried to put me on another medication. They tried to give me another diagnosis of not only do you have ADHD and anxiety and depression and borderline personality disorder, but now you also are bipolar, so congratulations, here's your fifth medication. And when I, up until then, I had just been trusting everything this woman had been doing or telling me, or, you know, she was my therapist, she's a white woman, and I hadn't, like, really cared enough about my life to question that.
Mm-hmm.
So once I finally did, I was, like, at CVS, and I'm, like, picking up the prescription, and I'm just like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, I have no control over my life. Like, I don't know why it was at CVS that I came to this decision, but I just was like, what the fuck is this? And I got home and I was like, I can't take these anymore. And my mom's like, which one? And I'm like, any of them. And so it was like a very kind of irrational decision to decide to stop taking all medication at once.
Mm-hmm.
Because most people go to, like, rehab for that, but I just didn't have the means to do that. And so I'm the type of person that once I make a decision, I'm pretty, no one can change my mind. So I knew when I made that decision that I was going to have to suffer. But it was like a choice, you know, like my dad used to say, this movie, Shawshank Redemption, like, you need to get busy living or get busy dying, like, make that choice, but you can't just, like, that's how I felt like I was living in the middle of those two things, you know?
Yeah.
Like, not fully alive, not fully dead, just kind of coasting and, like, whatever. And so when, I felt like I had nothing to live for, to be honest, and I had, like, the last bits of the small amount of energy that I had, like, I had barely any life left in me, because I was, like, detoxing from, I had been on the medications for, like, 10, almost 12 years.
Yeah.
And so you just can't do that, but me being stubborn, I just said, I'm gonna do what I'll do, and then I did it. But it was very taxing on my body physically. Like, I started having weird-ass, like, reactions. It's hard for me to read, hard for me to write. Like, my brain just wasn't computing things. It was, like, my irritation was crazy off the charts. Like, I remember going in the bathroom and, like, about to take a shower, and the shower curtain got on my nerves, so I ripped the whole thing. Like, it was, like, through the roof crazy. Like, I was, like, just, I felt like my life was just, wow. But it slowly started to get better because I asked for help. For the first time, I asked a friend of mine, can you help me plan a workshop? Like, I want to talk about the things I'm learning from, like, waking up to my life. And so my first Season of Self workshop was in my front yard. And I had, like, I really didn't know what I was going to say. And that's the first time in my entire life that I ever planned an event, and I didn't know exactly what was going to happen, exactly what was going to go down, what I was going to say, like,
yeah,
to the fucking letter, because that's how I used to be. I didn't trust myself. And I didn't trust that what I had to offer was, you know, was good unless I planned it to be good. And then I just started talking. When all the women got there, like, I set up, like, I had, like, some food and, like, a snack table and, like, some sangria. And I was just like, you know, I'm just going to invite these people over here and talk. And I was, the concept was kind of weird, but I was like, I'm used to calling things a workshop, so I'll just call it a workshop.
Yeah.
And the name Season of Self just kind of, it was just, there was no other thing I could call it, because that's where I was at in my life. I was finally in my season of self. I was supposed to be not myself, going to really, like, make an effort to invest in myself. And so the name just kind of came automatically. That was a long answer, but there you go.
Nah, dude. I knew I... Like, you've told me all this before. We've had this whole conversation, and, like...
Yeah.
I'll swear, every time you... I've probably heard this story for the third time, but, like... Wow. It's like you perfected it.
Aww.
It's like... You know how like, you're supposed to have an origin story for, like, your thing? You know what I'm saying? Like, and your... This is your origin story, and, like, I don't know. It was beautiful.
Thank you, Ash.
Thank you for sharing with me like that. I mean, you didn't even need to share as much as you did, and you did. Like, and that's what... And that's what I think it was so beautiful about your first event, you know? Like, same way. I haven't gone to that point where I've just had something and not have planned it. Everything I do is plan, like, to the fucking T. So, like, I can't imagine how you had all those people there in your front yard, you know? And it's just like, let me wing this. I would have had an anxiety attack.
So, you know, with what you do compared to what I do, my type of thing is more like performance or, like, speaking in front of people like that.
Yeah.
Yours makes sense to be planned, but mine, like, as a person that's, like, behind a microphone, it's kind of, like, really scary to just stand up there and be like, oh, well, I'm just going to be myself for the first time. You know, that was the hardest part. But there, like, the only way out is through. And so, like, when I finally started to wake up, like, lots of little messages or lots of things that I had already known my whole life started to become more clear. I was able to hear my inner oracle, or whatever you want to call that. Like, I was able to hear the wisdom that I always knew that I had, but I was in too much chaos to listen.
Yeah.
And so I knew that the only way out of this shit, like, this darkness, was through it. And I knew I was gonna have to, like, crawl through some shit, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, ready to be uncomfortable, which I was, and I have not stopped being uncomfortable since I started this.
But, like, it makes so much sense that those were the ones that you're not planning are, like, the most beautiful ones that you're having, you know? Like you, the girl said, you're channeling, dude. Like, you're a healer. And you are collectively healing, and, like, you're being called to do these things and channeled, and, like, wow. It's beautiful. It's really, like, I truly admire you. Like, I hope that, like, when I grow up, I want to be like you.
That's the thing, though. You already are. Stop. You're doing what I'm doing, but you, like, we all exist in our own universe, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but you are doing the exact same thing. Like, you I told you that before. You heal people through believing in yourself enough to bring one of your ideas to life. That is so healing for other brown girls to watch. Like, and to put Brown Girl Travels on the, like, in a space that people can see ourselves, and wait, it's possible for, because when we see them travel magazines, we're not in them. When we see them Instagram YouTubers going to travel to Bali and all that shit with the head on the camera on their head, we don't see ourselves,
right?
And so you are creating that does not exist right now, and that is, like, it does now because of you. That's, you're doing the exact same thing I'm doing, but in your universe, and that's just as beautiful.
Oh, girl, stop.
Oh my God.
It's too early. We just started.
I know, I can't.
Oh my God. Okay. Thank you. What do you guys do in the workshops? Like, what does a workshop look like? Do they all look different? Are they all writing workshops type, you know?
Well, so, like, there have been so many different types of things. Like, some of them are writing prompts, and some of them are, like, activities. So, like, right now I'm looking at, you know what's so fucking funny? Is the first workshop, the last workshop 2019, the last season of Sup, was preparing for 2020. And so we had these, like, so I have, like, really, I think what Season of Self has really been for me is, like, I have always had this obsession with, like, school supplies, like, going to Michael's, like, little cards and pens and gel pens and, like, all the stickers and all that stuff, but I never really had a reason to have so much of it. Like, yeah. I was like, that shit. And I feel like Season of Self has given me an opportunity to intentionally use these, like, little, these, like, materials that I have always been attracted to but didn't really know why. Because I was like, well, why do I need 1,000 of these print stickers? Like, yeah. Why do I need that?
Yeah.
Because, but, and so, like, these workshops, because I get to choose what we do. Like, what I feel like for my whole life, what I have struggled with is not being heard or not being listened to, or like, or people discounting or thinking that my ideas are outrageous, outlandish, or just kind of like too out there, you know. But what I found with Season of Self is me trusting myself enough to ask people to listen to me, and then the right people say, okay, well, we're listening.
Yeah.
And then they hear you, and that's a whole different thing. And so when I had them, I gave them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 cards, like just blank cards, and I have them title each of them January 1st 2020, April 1st 2020, July 1st 2020, and October 1st 2020, and then one birthday card for themselves. And the idea was I handed them a printout of a 2020 like year to date calendar, and I had them like anticipate to the best of their abilities, because there's no way we can anticipate this year, which is highly hilarious.
Yes.
I said, okay, but just based on, I gave them a highlighter and I said, highlight some dates that you know for sure, like your son's birthday, your boyfriend's birthday, yours, like, you know, holidays you usually spend wherever, you know, like, and to the best of your ability, highlight dates, and then based on those dates, go to the corresponding card, like January 1st, like, you know, the theme in that one, it's letters to yourself, because I felt like this was the first year that I had a relationship with myself to, like, say, to have enough sense to say, okay, this, we're in December now, and usually after December comes January, because me, up until that point in my life, I would get to January and be surprised that it was January.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I don't even, where did I, what was I, what the fuck? Because I was not paying attention to my life. That's the only way I can describe it. And so I, all of the activities or the writing prompts or the things that we do are just things that I'm doing for myself. And then I say, hey guys, want to do what I'm doing? That's really what it is. Like, it's not like, oh, let me just think of a way that I can change Ashley's life. You know, it's hey, Ashley, look, this is what I'm doing to change my life. And then Ashley has this realization of how that applies to her unique life, and it might not even apply in the exact same way, or sometimes it does, and that's really like alignment, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just me saying, hey guys, I'm really trying to work on myself, I'm in my Season of Self, do you want to come and do the activity with me? I promise there'll be good snacks and good music. It's really not like this, hey guys, I'm the smartest person, most wisdom person alive, come listen to me preach to you.
Yeah.
So everyone gets a space to talk, and yeah, like, then there's been like in that 2020 workshop that we were preparing for, I also made a worksheet that says 5 hard things I've done, because, and at the bottom of it I put, when shit gets hard, remind yourself this is hard, but that's okay, because I can do hard things, and this list is my proof. And so I actually have that on my my 2020 year board or whatever, like 5 hard things I've done, because when shit gets hard, like the fact that I couldn't get out of bed, like because my back was so fucked up, like there's a list right there in front of my face of 5 hard things I've done. One of them is live through the loss of my dad. Number 2 is live through every single heartbreak. Number 3 is detox. Number 4 is graduated from college with a learning disability. And number 5 is be myself, start a podcast, and like enter the world as myself for the first time.
Yeah.
And so it's just like to see that all out there on my board with my little letters, and all, and the fact that I even attempted to plan, it's like, oh, you're trying. And it reminds me that, like, whatever's happening right now, like, I'm on my way to figuring it out. Like, even if I don't know now, you know, like, it just gives me hope for myself. And it makes me feel proud of myself, which is something, which is, like, a sentiment that I wasn't really familiar with.
Yeah.
So it's not always writing prompts. There's always some writing in it, but sometimes it's just a sentence or a word. It's really just about, like, the workshop part of it is just being there. Sometimes that's just the work for someone.
Yeah, I feel that.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And then, so you had the retreat recently, and it was your first one. What did the retreat look like?
So, I had an energy cleanse, in August. And in it, I was told to listen to the trees. And, I mean, this tree thing has been in my life as long as I can remember. Like, I've been drawing trees since I was a little girl. I would just draw these, like, crazy-ass roots. Like, the roots were always, like, the main part of the drawing. And then you wouldn't even see the top of the tree.
Yeah.
And it was just something I would doodle, and I would always draw a lot. And so it kind of, the tree thing started to kind of, like, marinate in my brain. And when I was told that, listen to the trees, I immediately remembered this picture of my dad and my uncle in the sequoia. It was either, I still don't know because it's only the bottom of the tree, but it's like, it's either in the sequoias or at the redwoods. And I just, like, it was instantaneous that I knew what needed to happen.
Yeah.
It was like, I just knew what needed to happen. And I also knew, realistically, that there was no possible way that I was going to be able to focus my brain for long enough to do the things that needed to happen in order for that to occur. And so I did what I knew I had to do, and I asked for help. And I asked my friend Felicia, who is my assistant, who has just been by my side this whole time and is, like, just down. She's just fucking down. Like, yeah. She just believes in what I have to do, and she's like, all right, let's do it. And she's just... And at the same time, she's in her season of self, too, so it just makes sense. And it's like, so then I also have this friend of mine named Ashley, who I'm in another organization with called Hood Liberation, and she is a whiz kid. Like, I'm saying, she can make a spreadsheet for anything. She can make anything happen. She's just, like, that person.
Yeah.
And I knew there was no one else, and so I just asked them. I was so nervous to call because, as a person that struggles with mental illness, I don't always see the world the way it actually is. I just see it as my trauma allows me to. So I always think that I'm burdening people when I ask them for things.
I feel.
Like, so I was like, I thought that I was asking her to do me a favor. Like, can you please help me with this? And she was like, over the moon, like, are you kidding me? I would be so excited to do this. Oh my God, this is going to be such a fun trip. Like, I know you're going to be amazing. Like, she was, and it was a reaction that I hadn't really expected, but also never really experienced. That at that point, I had realized, oh wow, I've never really experienced that. And so that's how I kind of knew that I was starting to move in the direction of, like, surrounding myself with people who belong in my life. And because they're like excited to be there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I asked them for help, and we just started meeting weekly on Zoom. And, you know, I would say something like, oh, I want to, maybe we should look on Airbnb. And then in 5 minutes, Ashley had 5 links for me to click on, because that part of it, like the going to the website, the reading, that a lot of that stuff is difficult for me.
Yeah.
To sit there and, like, concentrate long enough. So, but if I can just say this one, or that one, that's the decision I can make instantaneously. And so they helped with those types of things.
I feel.
And making the budget, and, like, you know, and so all I had to worry about was telling the truth.
Exactly.
And so that's how it happened. And so we got up there, and it was like nothing went as planned in my head, like how I would dream about this trip. Like, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to sit next to a tree, and a lightning bolt of wisdom hit me, and I'm going to come back with a beard, and I'm on my way to Harry Potter, Harry Hogwarts, because I'm now a witch. Like, that's how I thought it was going to go down. Like, I just thought it was going to be something so obvious. But the magic wasn't in what happened at the tree, because guess what? I didn't make it out of a fucking parking lot, because I couldn't walk.
Oh my God.
So I sat in front of a sequoia tree, and, like, that was right next to a parking lot.
Oh.
Like, halfway in the parking lot, and I was, like, I felt myself getting angry at first. And I was, like, man, this is not what I came here for.
Yeah.
And I heard this crow, like, crow, squawk, or whatever, and my dad's indigenous name is Crow. And it was just, like, I like almost heard him be like, "You don't know why you came here. Like, stop acting so arrogant."
Yeah.
Like, you how like don't come. And then I had this, I like started to have this old little like trauma reaction of like a panic attack or like a tantrum, basically, because this like guy was playing music loud, was like bumping. When I said bumping, he was like, he was at the 99 cents parking lot right there in Highland Park.
No.
Just be bumping music, and I'm over here trying to have a quiet moment, so I'm like getting so frustrated because I'm like, this is, I can't leave the parking lot, everyone else is out there having their moment, and I'm like, I can't even walk. I mean, my pain's at an 8 and now it's at a 9 because I've been trying to walk around so much, yeah, more than I should have, because I was like desperate to find a quiet place to sit and like let this moment happen. And so then I'm getting all desperate and, like, fucking freaking out, like, low-key. But then I just sat where I was, and I was throughout the park, like, I just couldn't make it past that. And so when I just did that, and I just sat there, and then I just kind of just started crying because I was, like, that was a whole representation of my whole life. Like, I was trying to control everything. I was trying to, like, control the moment and control, like, you know, and it didn't happen, so I just let go and was like, well, this is where I'm at right now. Like, I can always come back here if I really want to go camp in the woods, like,
yeah,
or do whatever I want. I just have to, like, the amount of energy that it took to like worry about everything, like worrying doesn't change an outcome. And so I was able to kind of like sit there and then just be like, you know what, maybe I wasn't here to like see the trees. Maybe I was here for Saturday night, because Saturday night, when everyone was back, I was laying on a fucking piece of cardboard. Yeah. Everyone was dancing around me and eating, and we were passing chips around, and it was just like, that moment was why I came there, because I needed to connect so badly, not just with myself, but with other people who were connecting with themselves.
Yes.
And that was like, it was like, you had your moment. Like, you ain't getting out of the parking lot for this one, you know? So it was like, and then on the way back, we had our debrief of what the trees told everyone. And I was bawling at the connections that these women made for themselves, like, in their own lives. Like hearing them connect the dots of, yeah, like, it was the most beautiful thing. I could have never planned that. So that was just like, that was the experience of going up there. And and yeah, like I'm still processing what I learned up there, and it comes out like when people ask me questions like this, then it comes out. But and so then I'm thankful for this right now, because I'm able to kind of like let some of it out, because all these things have been swirling in my head, and that's how it usually happens.
Yeah.
Until I either write them down or talk them out in a podcast, or you know. Yeah, so much just feels like it, so much feels like it happened up there, but I still haven't been able to articulate it yet.
Girl, I'll send you this when we're done. Don't worry about it. You have reference.
A friend of mine recorded me while I was up there talking. She got like 11 minutes of me talking, and I'm scared to watch it. I'm like, I don't know if I should watch it or not, because that was the day where I don't remember anything that I said.
Yeah.
I started talking and showing them my... Because what I did when I got up there was my little moment when it was time for me to talk, because I gave everyone journals. I got the custom journals made. So the first night we were up there, we created an altar. Mm-hmm. And I asked everyone to bring a picture or an object of some energy that you want to ask to guide you while on this weekend. And so the first night, I had them write a letter to that person. And then in that morning, we all read it to each other. Like, everyone read their letters, and it was cool. It was intense, but like so, so beautiful. People were like crying, but like every single time someone would cry, whoever was next to her would just hug her and hold her.
Yeah.
It was like it was like there was no awkwardness or anything like that. Everyone was held equally. And so when they read those letters, when it was time for me to share what was in my journal, I told them the story of why we were there. And I went through my notes, because in my notebook, when I do my energy cleanses, when I first started like last year, I started taking notes. But the way the notes look to compare the way they look now, that's how you see the growth in me.
Yeah,
is like the messages are coming through so much clearer and so much clearer, and basically I'm seeing myself clearer every single time. And so I told the story basically through the pages, just by saying like, oh, and then here's where I learned this. But you can see the progression of the art in them. I'll send you a picture so you can kind of get a point, but you can see the progression. And it was, I guess the way I told the story was really good. I don't know. Everybody seems to like it and cry.
Yeah.
So what was really kind of intense for me was I was having, so usually the realizations that I share, I already had them. And then I'm like, here, guys, this is what I learned. But I was having them as I was reading, and that was really intense for me because I was connecting the dots as I was speaking out loud, and so that was making me cry a lot.
Yeah.
So that was, like, really intense. I think that was the most intense part, was, like, it was real time, like, that I was connecting the dots of, like, I mean, like, year, like weeks or months ago when I first had one of my first cleanses, I didn't realize that one of the cards that I had gotten, because I would write down the cards, was retreat.
Oh.
And water and stillness, and like it was just like a lot. So as I was telling the story, it was like weird. And then I had there, you could see me drawing trees in the notes before I even got to the one about listening to the trees.
Yeah.
And then it's just kind of like really interesting, I guess. And so that was like that. And then we went to go see the trees, and we came back and we did these mirrors. And the mirror idea I had because I like practical activities. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not gonna like make you use of this or like do something that you're never gonna use again.
Yeah.
You know, like, I like things to have a purpose. So and yeah, I can kind of make meaning out of anything. And so I'm like, but this one I wanted because what happened up there, which I didn't know was gonna happen, you know, for me to say this, was the way we saw each other. Because the first night we got there, I had everyone put on their little baddie outfit. I had everybody bring like the outfit that made them feel like cute,
yeah,
to take pictures, because we had like a sunset golden hour photo shoot, and the whole mission was to pick a partner and do not come back until you get the bombest picture of yourself known to man. But in order to get that, you have to communicate with the other person what you like, what you don't like. Like,
yeah,
you need to be willing to be vulnerable. And that was an activity that I did not know was going to have as much impact as it did.
Wow. Because
I just wanted us to have like some kind of fun, but also be able to like talk about it and break it down later.
Yeah.
And then that night when we were all talking about our insecurities, because I was like, I want you to focus on what you're insecure about, not because I'm going to shame you for being insecure about it and be like, no, you have a great ass. Like, I'm not, that's not what it's going to be. I just want you to be aware of what your insecurities are. Mm-hmm. And so then when we started that conversation, it was like none of us, because the assignment was to like hype the other person up so they get their pick. And none of us could even fathom like any of our insecurities at the time, because it was like we just felt so comfortable. And it was just like, and then other people like couldn't see the other person's insecurity. Like, how could you think that, you know, like you're beautiful. And so the mirror was like, whenever you start to forget who you are, start to forget how this feels, like look in that mirror and you'll see us looking back at you. Like, we're the way we see you. Because when you look in the mirror, you don't always see yourself. You see your trauma. You see all of the things that people told you were wrong about you. You see all of the things that you don't have that you look on Instagram and they do have. Like, you can't see yourself clearly. And so when you look in that mirror, that was the meaning of it, was to be able to see us looking back at you, like the way we see you, because that's real. Like, we were able to see each other.
Yeah.
And so the mirror activity kind of took on another, like, again, like, it started kind of shallow, just like, oh, this will be cute and fun idea, and then it made its way into being a really meaningful activity.
Damn, that was, damn, that's really cool. I saw those videos where you guys, I was like, damn, they're getting the shots of each other, okay. Like,
yeah, it was so fun, because I love golden hour, and like, and it's 2020, we have not gotten dressed up for shit, like, yeah. Shit, nobody has done shit.
I dead ass saw some girl in heels, and I was like, why, she took her heels out there?
Yes, that was yesterday. I said pretty much one girl bought her fur coat, her fur leopard coat. I'm like, yes.
Oh my goodness, I love it.
And then we took all of our shoes off, and then we just like ate. We the first night the pizza did not go well. Like, that was something we learned. We tried to make pizzas, like, be all fancy, and the chips turned out like Hot Pockets. We were all high, laughing. Like, we just ate chips for dinner that night.
Oh.
Then the next morning we had a bomb ass breakfast. We had a mimosa breakfast. we had one of the girls volunteer because she started a crepe business, so she volunteered to do a crepe bar. So she did crepes, and then we had sorriso babas, and it was just really fire. All our food was so fire, except for the first night with the Hot Pockets. Those were terrible.
There's always, like, a few cooking disasters on any trip, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And we watched Troop Beverly Hills. I was like, we have to watch Troop Beverly Hills.
Shut up. That's such a good movie. Oh, my God.
They're calling me Phyllis Nestler.
Oh, I love it.
And they gave me a patch. Ashley went in the gas station to get gas, and she bought me a patch that says Sequoia, and it was, like, so perfect because it, like, goes with the...
Wow.
...the Latino wilderness girl.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. You guys are a little troop.
Yes, we were the brown...
I love it. Do you have pictures that I could share in the magazine from
this event? Yeah, I'll send you a few. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, if you could send me, like, a few from this event and maybe just, like, a few from your first event so, like, people could see, like, where it started and where it's at.
Yeah, I should do one of those things, huh?
You should definitely do one of those things. You were in your front yard, and then just this past weekend, you were in Sequoia National Park. Like, what? You had a bear come visit y'all.
Dude, yes, there was a bear! Dude, no.
I'll tell you, girl, I was religiously watching y'all's videos. I was... I was setting energy.
I have more views than that before. Like over 1,000 people watch those stories.
What? Damn.
That's like really high engagement. Usually I get like 500.
Yeah, that's wild. I've never beat like 400. One day.
Man, you will.
Yes.
I was even thinking when I was in the shower, I was thinking about, I feel like, you know how you send the flat Stanley around? Like, why not have them make videos? Like, correspondence almost for Brown Girl Travels. Like, you know, like, and you can, it's like an extension of the magazine.
Yeah.
But.
Wow.
And, like, have the logo in the video, you know, and just, like, you could choose certain people, you know, that you feel like have the energy or whatever, but, or just, like, see what you get. Like, just send videos and say, I'll choose the ones I think are funny or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's content that's just, like, easy to have. And, I don't know, I think it will take your,
like, engagement level?
Yeah, because then that's shareable. Because, like, I don't know, people are stupid and they don't read. Because I'm one of them. I'm, like, a video person 1,000%.
Yeah.
So... you should do an origin story of Brown Girl Travels, a video.
I should.
And then, like, at least that don't be that, because then like, that's, like, that's how I did an origin story video for Season of Self. And that has been so helpful for me to, like, just share whenever I share a flyer.
Yeah.
Because I'm, like, so because people ask, what is it? Like, here's a video.
Yeah, that video was amazing.
Thank you.
That video...
because I just narrated over it.
Yeah. But who recorded it? Did you record it?
Yes, on my camera. Well, Felicia recorded it when we were, like, in different workshops.
Yeah.
Different people recorded things, but we put it all together.
Did you edit it, too?
I know how to edit, but no, she edited it.
Damn! I swear, when I watched it, I thought... I was like, I didn't realize she had, like, someone come and record for her. It looks like...
Oh, no, bro.
It looks like someone's recording for you.
Oh, no, you have a camera.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the only thing you need to make a video like that. Cutting, you can do... you can make this on iMovie. I can tell... I'll give you advice on how to cut it so it looks like... if you slice things up, like, really, like how I did, like,
yeah.
So there's no transition. It's just, like pieces of video.
Splits,
with the right song, but the video has to be high quality. It looks professional.
Yeah, because it looks so high quality. That's why I'm like, wow. I can't believe it's just, like, different cameras, different videos, you know? Like, I thought it was just one camera, one person, one thought. Yeah, that's wild. That is so cool that you just put that together. Yeah. Oh, definitely. Thank you. Oh, my goodness.
Of course. If you need help with it at all, just tell me. And I'm sure Felicia would be willing to work on it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I definitely wanna... I've already, like, written their names down because, like, you got a little team behind you and we gotta give them credit, too. So I'm gonna mention them in the article.
For sure.
They're amazing. I could already tell. Like,
yeah, dude, I can't do anything without them.
Yeah, I've
I almost had a fucking a panic attack trying to go over the money the next day because I had so much trauma around money.
Yeah.
That I didn't get. Ashley was like, it's fine. Like, we have all the money. I have nothing to get. And I don't know. Like, I was like, all tense and scared and worried. And they're like, we got this. We're here for you. Like, it's okay. And yeah. I was like, oh, thank God. Thank God for you. Thank God.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah, I get that. Like, I don't like handling money. I have like a thing about it. I don't know. When it comes down to those, I always have a person and I'm like, can you be the money person? And I'll just be the like here to talk. Here to greet.
The reason why down what that comes down to at the core of me because you just don't trust yourself.
I don't think I do, and I don't want anyone to not trust me either. So I'm like, I'd rather not have that responsibility. I don't know, like, I don't want to lose anything.
Every time you do that, or we do that, when we shy away from the money or think that we can't use a calculator, we're reinforcing the false belief that we are not responsible and that we can't be trusted and that we don't believe that we can be trusted even by ourselves. Like, we're reinforcing that belief, and I'm working on it, but like, so. So I tried to, like, for example, I went to Ulta and they offered me a credit card, and usually I would say no.
Yeah.
But now that I've been watching these videos of how you can build your own credit score, like, I can literally build. I've been missing an opportunity. I've been shopping at Ulta for I don't know how many fucking years, buying the same product.
Yeah.
At the same place. And just spending the money and not getting anything in return for it. I could literally have been buying them on the credit card, paying off the credit card immediately, and I would have an 800 credit score right now. But I never trusted myself to, like, know those things or even search those things until now. And I finally said yes, and I was like, oh my God, I said yes. That means that I'm now responsible for something, and I trust myself enough to remain on top of it.
Yeah.
And it was like the hugest little accomplishment for me. I was like, wow, okay.
It's a big thing. I just got my own credit card for the first time this year, too. Like, literally, I've always been scared to have a credit card because I'm like, nah, so I don't
have
even.
An 800 credit score by the end of next year.
Shit, yeah.
All you have to do is just buy the same thing you would normally buy.
Like, regular, yeah.
And there's a trick. Let me tell you the trick that I learned. Say your payment, your minimum payment a month for your credit card is $40 a month.
Yeah.
If you pay 20 of those $40 at the beginning of the month, and then the other 20 at the end of the month, it counts it as two payments, and your credit score goes up faster.
Shut up. I did not know that.
Yes.
Girl, my dad was like, just pay off your credit. Anything you pay on your credit card, pay it off. I was like, Dad, I don't think that's how you build credit. He doesn't even have a fucking credit card.
No, that is how you do it. But you could do it even faster. Like, this is a loophole.
Yeah, I feel like to pay it in payments like that.
You don't buy anything with credit that you can't pay for in cash.
Yeah, but like, pay for it in two payments though, right? Not in one whole lump sum.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, exactly.
No, definitely pay. No, the only way to build a credit is to pay it in payments. You cannot buy a washing machine with a credit card and then pay it off. I mean, you can, but it's like establishing credit is like showing a company that you can pay like faithfully for so many months in a row, and then that's how the score is like what it's built on.
Yeah,
your consistency over time, not your ability to pay it off immediately.
Yeah.
It's just your ability to remain consistent over time.
Damn, my dad was dead ass. I paid for something the first batch of shirts I bought, they were like $300. I paid for it on the credit card, and I had the money, and he's like, pay it off tomorrow. And I was like, no, I think I'm supposed to make payments. He's like, no, just pay the entire thing off. And so I did.
No, that's just because my mom
said
the same exact thing. That's because it comes from a scarcity mentality.
Yeah.
And people that I had to survive in life had to. The scarcity mentality for people who had to survive is a survival tool.
Yeah.
Because you have to treat this $10 like it's the last fucking $10 you're gonna get, and you can't be stupid and fuck it off.
Damn, yeah.
And so because we don't live that same reality, we're able to now say, okay, that makes sense for you, but I'm gonna take that and I'm gonna build a little bit on it,
mm-hmm.
and like, you know, move forward. Because we gotta get past that shit, man. Otherwise, we'll be in the same place.
I know, dude. I'm tired of being here.
I'm trying to move on.
I feel like I definitely needed to hear this. I'm scared to hold on to my own, like, social security card. That's how much I don't trust myself. Like,
well, I'm 32. let me tell you what I got. I have been giving my mom control over handling everything.
Oh my God.
When I just did my, I would give her all my court documents, and there's, I have now a gray box where I keep everything. And because I had to do my, this is the first year I had to do my business taxes for myself.
Yeah.
I didn't let my mom handle them because my mom is a fucking crook. Like, there's no other way around it. My mom will give me the money, but I deserve it. Like, so she'll just, you know, so I was like, no, I can't do that with my business. Like, you know, like, I gotta, like, do this right. Cause I'm telling you, I'm growing this into an empire.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not fucking around. And so, so I was like, no, so I found someone, I asked a friend of mine, like, for a business taxes person, and, so I did it all fucking hella late, but I got it done, and, she got me a good ass refund, and then I started going through, like, my gray box where mom keeps all my stuff, and I'm like, this is a fucking mess, so I started going through it, and then I, like, actually trusted myself enough to be like, no, where are all my documents, like, let me put them in order. I even have friends, medical records and shit, I'm like, organized for this. I gotta stop letting other people run my life.
Yeah. Oh my God. I feel that so strongly. I feel like I really needed to hear this. You have no idea.
Aww.
All of my documents are at my parents' house because I don't trust, like, you know, my, like you gave it to your mom, I gave it all to my dad. Like.
Well, you know what? That's normal. That's 100% normal.
Okay.
And, just know that when you're ready to tackle that, you have everything that you need already inside you to accomplish any single thing that you think is too big or too much of a responsibility for you. You have everything you already need. And so you still have a lot to learn, but you also, like, foundationally, you can figure anything out.
Yeah.
If you put your mind to it, you can figure anything out.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. I believe that so hard. Like, and I think that finding that belief was, like, the first step in all of this, you know?
Man, if we could bottle that up and sell it, find you how to find the belief.
Fuck yeah.
That would be a moneymaker, because so many people go through their life with so many ideas. It's the first one for now. Yeah, it's the first one for now until I can fucking manage to give birth to the second one. It's killing me. This one is just like, oh, I'm gonna be in my uterus for a while.
It's gonna haunt you for a while.
But I said in my book, I said something like, I'm an idea factory. Like, I literally, like, I actually come up with an idea for any single, like, I have no shortage of fucking ideas, like, but follow through is what I don't have.
Yeah.
And ideas without follow through, they just don't matter. They can't do what they're supposed to do. They can't go into the world and inspire others. They can't help you reach the potential that you know you're capable of, but you're too scared to reach for. Like, you, without follow through, we have nothing. And so that's the reason why I released that book, is because I wanted to show my kids at the teen center that you have to push through the fear. Like, your fear can't be bigger than your message. Your message is the biggest. Like, and if you have something to say, which all of us do,
yeah,
then you need to say it. No matter how much people tell you ain't shit, or that nobody cares about what you're gonna say, or the fact that you've never seen it done before. And so that's why I put the book out, and that's why I dedicated it to them. And then it kind of, I didn't think people were gonna like it. That's where I was. You wanna know, on my book release, did I ever tell you this? I think I might as well do this. On my book release, how I was acting?
No.
On my book release, I was a complete fucking spoiled brat, ungrateful.
No way.
Focused on the wrong shit. I was focused on the fact that three of my friends didn't show up. I chose to be pessimistic, ungrateful, annoying, like, angry towards people, like just, I hated the way I looked. I just was in such a dark place in my life that I couldn't even enjoy something like a book release party. Like, yeah. I couldn't even enjoy my own accomplishment. And I look back and I feel so sad for that girl, and I'm like, I would never allow that today. Like, I know now how to surrender kind of more, and it just makes me feel like, I don't even know why I started telling that story.
No, dude, it's totally valid. I feel like we're just having, like, at this point, I'm like, wow, I think I just needed this conversation more than my readers need the article. I think, yeah. God, because, like, I don't even talk on the phone often. I'm surprised that I'm, like, here for this.
Laughed in the phone.
Oh, gosh. Oh, but no, I get it. It's
gonna go on a whole other stuff.
I know, it's hard. It's so hard. It's all relevant.
Oh, my God, hilarious. Okay,
real quick.
Focus.
So I was the next. Oh, when you definitely plan on doing another retreat, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, and
but with less spinach, because we bought way too much fucking spinach for no reason.
Spinach?
And a shitload of bananas. I wish my back wasn't fucked up, and I would have been able to go to the market with them. I would have been like, do not buy all those motherfucking bananas.
Girl, a deadass.
So many bananas and so much spinach.
I saw your videos. I saw the bananas, like, being packed, and I was like, they ain't gonna eat all those bananas.
Hell no, hell no.
I went to Big Bear, like...
Crazy.
I went to Big Bear early this January, and we took a bunch of shit. Nobody ate it. Like, nobody ate it. We're like, why do we bring all of this? Why do we anticipate this?
Because we're American, and we're consumers.
We deadass lived off of cup of noodles. We were like, because, you know, you're drunk, and you just want, like, a cup of noodles at, like,
yeah,
2 in the morning.
Like,
give me a cup of noodles. Tapatio, we're good.
That's me.
Yeah. Okay, so you told me about your personal journey. Do you feel like you're a healer? Do you feel like that this person?
In my energy cleanses, my dad called me the wounded healer. And so I feel like if healing is just keeping it real and telling my story exactly the way it happened, without feeling ashamed, and that makes people feel healed, then yeah. But I don't think I'm Jesus. I don't think I can walk up to somebody and put my hand on them and be like, by the Lord Jesus, I heal you. Like, that's not what I think I can do. But I think there's levels to healing, you know? And I think when my mom was getting clean, she read A Course in Miracles by Marianne Williamson. She told me about that early on in my life. And, you know, like, when you let your light shine, you unconsciously give other people the right to shine their light. And that brings, I think, liberation to everyone. You know, that brings freedom and that brings healing, essentially, to everyone else that witnesses it.
I love that. I'm sorry, I was just, like, noting that. Okay.
Noted?
Yeah, because, you know, I don't know how you do your podcast, like, but, like, I have to write notes, so, like, I'm like, okay, we know where to look back at. I struggle.
I just do my podcast, I just be talking.
I know, but, like, yeah, we can go on a whole other tangent on how I think that, like, you're just so good at talking. Like, I remember when we did my podcast.
God, thank you.
You're so good at it. No, dude, like... You were, I remember getting lost, and you just kept bringing it right back to center, and, like, yeah, it was just so good. It's an art.
No, because I don't know. It's easy to talk to you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you so much.
thank you so much.
How do you feel, like, do you feel that the season itself is a way that you honor yourself in your own pain?
Oh my God, that's the definition of it.
Okay, perfect.
It's giving things their space.
Yes.
It's I did the inner child workshop. I did the inner child workshop. So this is the thing. Like, the first workshop I did was centered around the song Fear by Kendrick Lamar.
Yes.
And so my bad. Dude, I just realized this is fucking crazy. The first workshop was centered around J. Cole's song, Friends, and it's about his addiction. And it's about how we, like, how kids are neglected, and then they're or abused in, like, traumatic environments, and then they're expected not to have anxiety, and then they grow up and have anxiety, and then they have to medicate for it. And in some situations, they self-medicate with, like, weed, or in some situations, they're medicated fine because their parents don't give a fuck, and they're like, here, something's not my kid, put them on some pills so they can calm themselves down.
Yeah.
And then they do, and that was, you know, more my out of control, and like my teachers you know, recommended that I get tested for learning disability because I could just couldn't get it. But I mean, so the first workshop was about me confronting my addiction and how that was, that because season of self is all about foundational growth. It's understanding that you cannot build a house without a solid foundation, and you are the house. And so, like, but the type of life that I want, what are the foundations of that life? Are the foundations of that life bullshit? And am I inviting these people to my yard so that they could tell me how skinny I am and, like, tell me that my makeup looks bomb? Is that the foundation that I want to build friendship or myself on? Hell no. So if you want people to tell you the truth, then you have to tell them the truth. And so I just started telling the truth, and I just started talking about my addiction, and I was honest about it.
Yeah.
And that, but the catalyst for it, my entry point into talking about that was J. Cole's song, Friends. And that was like the first, that was how I entered that conversation, because I need an entry point, whether it's a movie or I need a lens through which to look at my own life. And that's what I feel that season of self is for other people. And so, because then you say like, oh, well, Angie's asking herself what she's addicted to. What am I addicted to? Because that was the writing prompt.
Yeah.
The first one was, is there something you're addicted to? Because in the song, he talks about how to calm his anxieties, you know, like, what are you trying to calm in yourself? Like, whether it's shopping or whether it's like, you know, the way you kind of like, I used to just be really reckless with my body. Like, I just used to just be having sex with anybody I wanted. And then I could justify it because I would say, oh, well, this is what I want to do, and I'm a feminist, and this and that. And it's but what was really going on is what I didn't want to talk about. And so I just started talking about that shit, and then it moved on to the second one, which was then finally I went to Fear by Kendrick Lamar. And then those were the two foundations, because if I wanted to like build a strong, you know, foundation, I need to confront these things. These are the foundational traumas upon which my life is built right now, and my life is bullshit. So I need to build that whole shit down and build it up on something, on good principles. And so, but you can't go through what you don't like. You can't like go through what you don't want to confront. So the workshops are just essentially me confronting these things about myself. And so Fear, where did I learn Fear? And so that song Fear is all about him, like there's three verses. The first verse is about him at 7 years old, where he learned Fear. Fear, he learned Fear from his mom. Mom was like, I'll beat your ass if you don't do this. I'll beat your ass if you don't do that. And that's exactly where I learned Fear from. And so it was an entry point of me to talk about my own childhood trauma of like being neglected and having a mom that was constantly, you know, playing poker. Yeah. She was never around. I was raised by my sister, who was 9 years older than me, and I mean, that shit was terrible.
Yeah.
So I was basically raised by a teenage mom, you know, and so like, then that was an entry point for me to talk about that, and I just kept it hella real, and I just told my story, and then I asked them to write about where they first learned Fear from, and then they all shared. And so, it was like, some of it was similar to my story, but then some other people took it somewhere completely different, but they took it somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, and so they were able to apply it to their own life in a way that was healing for them. And I started to see that, oh, this is not just for me, this is for other people to heal too, but to heal themselves in their own way. And so I was like, I'm gonna keep doing this.
Yes.
And then I did, and then the other ones, you know, like different things would inspire me, but mostly my energy cleanses. My energy cleanses are what would make me feel comfortable to speak the truth about the things that I was learning, because I knew that they weren't just coming from me. I was like, oh no, this is direct from Crazy Ernie. Hey guys, this is what he said, and he's the only person that I really trust in their advice or their wisdom, you know. So I mean, that's how I feel comfortable saying it out loud, because I know that's not fully from me.
Yeah. Ooh. Wow.
I know, that's why I give you so much information. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. It's just like, wow, I don't know. I'm still reflecting on this, and like,
okay.
Also reflecting on like my connection to you. You know how you were talking about trees earlier? And like how you used to draw trees?
Yeah.
I have this little book. It's like a little tiny, like, I don't know. It's just a little blank book. It's got, like, Dr. Seuss on it. And I was working at the Greek Theater, and I literally took it to everybody, and I said, can you draw me a tree? Because I love trees. I think I've told you, like, trees are a thing for me.
Wow.
And I was like, and people were like, why do you want me to draw you a tree? And I'm like, because everybody draws them differently, and I want to see what you draw them like. Literally have a book of fucking trees, and all of the people that drew roots, I told them, you drew roots, I respect you so much. Like, I think that means that something about you personally. You know, I dead ass said that. I have to find the book. Like, I almost didn't even want to tell you the story until I found the book. I was like, man, I have to find it so I could show her right away. But I'm going to find it today, and I'll send you some pictures. But, like, dead ass, like, everybody drew a different tree. Everybody, like, and they all felt something weird way about it. They're like, can I hold on to it for, like, an hour? And I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah.
Do you know, can you articulate what you think it means about a person?
I like roots. I have a thing. I'll send you something my sister-in-law drew for me because she knows I like roots. But I think that the fact that people are drawing trees with roots and it's just like, that's like their first impulse way to draw a tree instead of just like, here's a tree with an apple tree, you know? Like, that means that they're deeper than just surface level, you know?
Yeah.
And that they're on that deeper level all the time, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm not saying that a person who draws a tree with apples is not deep, you know? I'm just saying that that's not where they're constantly living, you know? And, like, they're just like, oh, yeah, let me draw you a fucking tree. But this person is being true to themselves. They're being rooted. They, like, I don't know. It goes, I'm getting chills.
Oh, my God. Can I put this on the podcast?
Oh, yes.
Dude, this is a podcast.
Oh, God. You can, I'll send you the recording. No, but I have to find it. Yeah, it's really beautiful. Somebody drew a willow tree, and I asked her, like, why did you draw a willow tree? And she's like, because I feel like it hides the tree, and that's how I like to feel. I like to feel hidden, and I'm like, whoa. Damn, okay. Like,
maybe to make her feel like she's sad.
No, yeah, I mean, this was like a few years ago. She's definitely come out her bubble now. We're still friends. I love her. Like, she's an actress, though, you know, and, like, it made so much sense because she was always hiding behind another personality because she's an actress, you know, and she was constant, and she was very young, too. She was, like, living all these different roles, and now she's finding herself. It's so amazing. And, like, and that's, like, full circle where we come today. I feel like people living in their truths is, like, really the biggest step to, like, you're, like, you don't deem yourself a healer. You're just living your truth, and you are becoming the healer, you know? Like, and you're not trying to do anything. You're just being true to yourself, and that's beautiful, you know? And, like, and that's kind of where Brown Girl Travels started. Like, I just wanted to write stories about my travels for my niece, but I saw that there was a hole, and I was like, yo, like, this is not okay, and I don't want this truth to be lived by my niece like I lived it, you know? So, like, I'm gonna create something different for her, and, like,
yeah. Ugh. I remember you telling me that. Oh, I can do jokes too.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Woo, your girl needs breakfast and a bowl.
breakfast bowl.
And there's, like, an ad on my computer for Captain Crunch. I'm like, stop.
You're like, wow. My FBI agent is right on target.
I know. I'm in my emotions. I'm in my hunger. Okay, hold on. Let me finish this up.
Wait, so you're recording this, so you have to send me this whole audio so that I can send it to Felicia so she can put it on the podcast.
I will send, yeah. I'll send you.
I've done the season of South, so now I don't have to do that.
Yeah, it's all here for you. I'm so happy I have this recorded, the whole thing. We're at an hour and 6 minutes now. It's going to be a good podcast.
Oh, you know what? Look, you did my job for me. I really appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you for being a part of this. This is what I love about working with, you know, creators. Like, we're equally going to share from this, you know? I'm like, I love it. Okay, real quick. I want you to please send me 3 podcasts, or if you can think of the top of your head right now, 3 of your podcasts that you feel like reflect healing. So, like, I remember you did one recently with the death doula, so I'll probably include that one. Like, I just want to, like, put them on a paper and maybe put, like, a QRC so people can directly go to the podcast.
Okay, yeah. I have one recently with Thea Monnier on anger and healing.
Oh yeah, that's right. I was there for that. I forgot.
Yeah, and I mean, I have like mental health checks with Dr. Cruz and a friend of mine, Karina Luna, who's an actress, and just so many healing ones. One that was really healing was a conversation with me and my friend of mine named Tor Crawford, who is just a creative and someone who I actually had like a personal falling out with at one point. Mm-hmm. And so that was like a conversation that was really healing for us because we actually got tricked into it because a friend of ours told him that I wanted him on my podcast, and he told me that he wanted to be on my podcast. Oh. And then he just showed up, and we never talked about it, and then we didn't find out till later, and we were just so happy that we were able to like have such a beautiful healing conversation. And he talked about losing his father, and you know, because he was there for me when I lost mine.
Yeah,
like he was like at the hospital, and yeah. So it was just a great one. But yeah, there's, and then my audiobook is out there for free.
Oh, yes, audiobook. Okay, I'll find the links for all that and include everything, audio links. Because this is also going to live digitally, so well, I'll figure that out. And then that's it.
And that's it.
Oh my God, girl.
We did this. We really did this.
We did it.
Okay, thank you for listening to a Millennial Me
podcast. It's been fun. I'm Ashley, your co-host for today.
I'm Ashley, reporting live from Brown Girl Travels.
I know, I'm like,
I swear, I'm telling you, I see it as like a whole news network, like Brown Girl Travels.
Oh, girl, we're gonna get funded. That we're gonna have a whole TV show one day. You ever see how they send those white dudes, like all those, yeah, that's gonna be me, like getting paid to go to Europe and be like, hey girls, hey brown girls.
Hey brown girls, it's me. Yeah. wait, can we tell everybody on listening to the podcast, because this is a podcast now, can you tell everybody listening that when we first met each other, how we just started like chanting together?
Oh my goodness. Stephanie was there. That was beautiful energy, just bouncing off each other. We would just go bam, bam, bam.
There's that video. Gotta be on my Instagram somewhere.
Oh, I know.
So good. This was so fun. I had such a great start to my day with this combo.
I know, me too. I feel like I really intentionally started my day, and like I have a lot to like look on and reflect on, and like I feel good. I feel in a good place. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. It's hard to wake up in good places nowadays for me, so I really appreciate this.
Feel you. I'm here for you, girl, okay?
I know. This was more than enough. You living your truth by example is more than enough. Like, I live off this.
Thank you.
You are enough, girl, and I love you. Thank you.
All right, I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay, have a good day. Bye.
Hello?
It's the Mother Fucking Millennial Mija podcast.